That was Tina Arena. We do play a little bit of Tina Arena on this show because I think she's a fantastic talent. That was Tu es toujours là. You are always there. Terrific song. Among the many families who played a role in the European style established in Melbourne's hospitality scene, the Ress family, whose Ress Oriental Hotel is credited as the first to bring the French sidewalk cafe to the top of Collins Street, is now known as the Paris end of Collins Street. Rita Ehrlich speaks with Nicole Ress-Silberberg about her hotelier family, especially her late father, Leon.
Nicole, some weeks ago, we were talking and we met up with Terence Murphy of Sofitel, and you were able to say to him that your family's hotel, the Ress Oriental Hotel, was on the site that Sofitel is now on. He was delighted to hear it. But lots of people, I think, don't remember the Ress Oriental Hotel. Can you tell us about it?
Oh, I'd love to, Rita. Thanks for asking that question. Yes, Terence was actually blown out the door when I told him. So my grandfather, Mick Ress, they purchased the hotel. Actually, Dad always says that he will never forget the date of the 19th of September 1955 when they took possession of the Ress Oriental, so he himself and my grandparents, Mick and Shifra. And so it was a beautiful four-story hotel, Victorian style, and it had a wonderful history. And my dad, he was a young man and he travelled and he was going overseas and he met my mum's cousin at the time, who said, "Oh, I hear you're going to Paris. You should look up my cousin." Well, of course, Dad met somebody along the way and didn't look up Mum. And that was in 55. After they'd bought the hotel, Dad went to Europe. And in December of 55, Mum came to Melbourne. And her brother had already been here and, you know, thought, was Melbourne a good place for the family to come after the war, obviously. Anyway, so somebody invited Mum to go to a wedding. And coincidentally, my father was in the party, the bridal party, and saw Mum and thought, oh, how beautiful. Anyway, so they met and they started going out and, you know, and engaged. Anyway, so Mum looks at the Ress Oriental in Collins Street and says, "Collins Street reminds me of Paris. All you need here are some tables and chairs and some umbrellas. You know the mayor, you know my grandfather was on the city council, you know the mayor, you know the premier. Why don't you do something about it?" And so, you know, that gave Dad a challenge. And what he did was he did go and he got a permit, the first ever license in Australia to have an outdoor cafe. And I just want to paint the picture. If you can imagine that he had 20 tables, round tables, and 80 blue stackable chairs. And he had, so that was, you know, 80 people sitting on the footpath, occupying the full footpath on the front of the hotel. And he had a trolley. He had a glass-covered cake trolley. And Dad was very innovative at the Oriental. He had travelled and he was, you know, you've got to remember Melbourne at the time in 55. We weren't as sophisticated as, you know, we are today, of course. And so Dad had put a lot of elements into the hotel. He had in the lounge, he had the American bar and there was an elevated platform with a Hammond organ. And so they used to have a person playing the organ in the afternoon to entertain the guests. He also created, so in the lounge, he served coffee. And so they had the coffee machine and the waiters would come and take the orders from the people sitting out on the sidewalk cafe and come in. And I remember Dad telling me a story that there was a very famous tea supplier of the day got very upset with Dad because Dad was only serving coffee on his beautiful sidewalk cafe. So what Dad did is Dad created with this sidewalk cafe, and because it was reminiscent to Mum of Paris, Dad coined the phrase the Ress Oriental at the Paris end of Collins Street. So that's how that became, you know, quite...
And that was,
well, today, iconic. Right. In so that was in 58 that was formed. Also, from the point of view of his innovation in the hotel, at the time the tradition was for people to have breakfast in a large dining room, and Dad wanted to create something a bit more intimate. So he created a room called the Harlequin Room, which was with smaller tables. People could, you know, businessmen could have just a table for two or a couple. And he created a completely different style of service. It had life-size harlequins that were made out of bronze. And we've still got some of the glasses. Mum found these magnificent glasses that have got harlequins. I don't even know if they had them made specially, but they were quite exquisite. Dad had the first ever steakhouse at the Res Oriental, where he aged his own meat. He was very friendly with Victor Smorgon from the Smorgon family, who was originally in meat and a butcher, and said to Dad, the only way that you're really going to have a successful steakhouse is if you age your own meat. And Dad worked out in the back of our car park. He had a dedicated aging chamber, and he knew that 18 days was the ideal time. And, you know, he had to work out how much meat to hold and to carry. So he was very innovative, you know, in the late 50s.
What interests me so much when you're talking about your late father is that all the things we now take for granted began somewhere, and we always forget where and how.
Correct.
They began. That he was aging his own meat was pretty interesting. He was also
absolutely
who was one of the first to see Melbourne's tourism potential, wasn't he?
Oh, 100%, yes. In the early 60s, I think it was in 64, Dad was very innovative in, I think, in everything he did. You know, he looked at something traditional and then he wanted to turn it new innovative ways of looking at things. And he was the president of the Australian Hotels Association Residential Division. He was a councillor of the Victorian branch of the AHA. And so what he had told me that he was a member of the Australian National Travel Association, and there was an American company who did a study to look at what was necessary to put Australia on the map. And they saw that Melbourne had more bad months than good months as a tourist and needed a convention bureau. And so my father started the Melbourne Convention Bureau. It didn't exist. It was absolutely non-existent. So Dad thought really deeply into it, and he thought, this is going to be a personal project. So he invited everybody representing major hotels in Victoria. The motel industry was just starting, so he got people to come along. And he always used to tell me, you know, a funny story, how he would invite all those hoteliers into the Res Oriental. He would entertain them. He kind of bribed them virtually to support his proposal. And then they elected him to be president. So it took 2 years to bring about. He had to get finance. And he said that he proposed all the hotels for all the bedrooms that they had to charge $4 per room per annum, and they all agreed, and they raised $10,000, and they set, you think about it, you know, in the early 60s.
That was a lot of money.
$10,000 was a lot of money. They set a budget of $20,000, and then, of course, Dad needed to get another $10,000. And he knew the Lord Mayor and the town clerk. He was allowed to address the City of Melbourne Finance Committee. And my grandfather, Mick, was friendly with Henry Bolte, who was the premier of the day. And Dad became friendly with his deputy, who became Sir Arthur Ryler. And so Dad was able to convince them. They gave 25%, so the premier, and then the City of Melbourne came up with 25%. So he got the finances, and then they needed offices. And so one of his customers gave him, you know, they had an office, a building in Collins Street near Elizabeth Street. So, you know, Dad started the Melbourne Convention Bureau, and
which is now enormous. The interesting thing in all of this is your father's ability to get people to work together. And that's pretty special. That's a really special skill.
He had a knack for that, and I think that, you know, he was very personable and a man of great honour. You know, my grandfather was on the Melbourne City Council. Dad became a councillor. It was the first ever father and son. And he, you know, I worked with, as you know, I worked with him. We had the Faulkner Club, we had the Mitre Tavern, you know, later on. So, you know, it was very much a family business, and I'm very proud to have, you know, been able to say that I called him his daughter, and to work with him. And he brought us up on, his word was his honour, his handshake was his word. And I think that that's what people really liked him, that he was a man of integrity. And he, you know, he was on a lot of boards and did a lot.
And that he could be trusted. We always trust people whom we know give their word, and that's it. There's no going back on it. Now, after the Oriental Hotel, which I suppose was called the Oriental because it was at the eastern end of the city, there was the Faulkner Club, the Mitre Tavern, and what else was there? He was very, very busy on all those committees, of course.
He was. I think that when you look at the Mitre Tavern, he was very avant-garde. You know, we had that for over 35 years, and when he first boarded, it was a tired pub tucked away in Bank Place, and he had a vision. He wanted to create a Charles Dickens pub. With the Faulkner Club, he also had a vision. He wanted to create like an international hotel without bedrooms, which is what we did. We had a cocktail bar. You remember, we had a beer garden with a sliding glass roof. We had a bistro where we had very international style of food and range of boutique beers. And we had the Beaconsfield in St Kilda. He also had the Batman's Hill in Spencer Street. So there was a lot, and it's really interesting that if you go back further to my grandfather starting, that he had a partner and they were involved in investments, and they would buy some pubs, small pubs, as investment. And one day he and his partner, they went into what was called the Parade Hotel. So that gave the Hilton, do you remember the Hilton in East Melbourne? So it's, I think it's now the Pullman, but the Hilton. So it was the Parade Hotel which gave the Hilton its license. And my grandfather walked in and he said to Shifre, my grandmother, I think this is the business for us. I think this could be really good. And that's how they got into the hotel, that's how they got into the pub business.
Oh, how interesting. I do think runs in the family.
Yes. And Dad, as a young man, wanted to be in radio, and he did everything he could to get into the radio business, but it wasn't to be, and he went to see a career advisor at the day, you know, that was unusual, and he said, well, Dad had overheard his parents talking one day. My grandmother had a bit of a loud voice, and she said, Mick, what are you going to do with him? You know, they just started in the pub business, and then my grandmother said, I think you're going to have to put him in the pub, Mick. And the career advisor said to Dad, well, you've got a family who has offered you to come into this business, and I think you're going to see that your customers in the hotel business will be like the entertainment business, and you are giving a show. And I think that's what Dad did through all his hotels. He gave his customers something to remember and an experience, and that's what he passed on to us. Was always about giving somebody a wonderful experience that they would cherish and come back.
And this is what everyone's still talking about, or talking about anew. Everyone talks about the dining experience. It is absolutely wonderful to hear you talking about him. It is lovely to think of his achievements. He passed away not long ago. He was nearly 92.
Yes.
And we're delighted to think of him so positively and with such pleasure, and to know that his legacy makes him part of Melbourne forever. Nick Colris, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Rita, thank you very much, and for remembering Dad. Thank you so much.
Rita Ehrlich there, speaking with Nicole Ress, who also teaches French conversation and, when she can, leads tours to Provence in France.